Yep, that's better. Morning all, good to be here again, and good to be in God's Word again. It's a few weeks now that we've been going through the Paul's letter to the Galatians, and I just want to recap what we looked at a couple of weeks ago in the verses 15 to 25 of Galatians chapter 3. And we saw there how Paul wrote that there was no need for the Gentile Christians who were members of the church, that or the churches in Galatia, that they didn't have to go through the Old Testament rules and regulations. And one of those, the main one of those, that the Judaizers, those who were following the Old Testament faith, were trying to insist on, was that the males should be circumcised. But Paul, time and again in this letter, insists that to be accepted by God, we need to have faith in Jesus Christ as his Son. To have faith in Christ as our Saviour and as our Lord. And that didn't matter what your background was, whether you were Jew or Gentile. It did not matter. And that's the point that Paul hammers home time and again in this letter. He says it doesn't matter what your background is. And in fact, just in the two verses previous to what we read, it said that the scripture, for if the law had been given to impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But the scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin, so that what was promised was given through faith in Christ might be given to those who believe. So it's through faith in Christ. And that's the point that Paul emphasizes time and time again. And we see, and we read, as we read through this letter, we see that there were those who were trying to infiltrate into the church in this area, and were putting forward this gospel that wasn't the true gospel. They were putting forward an alternative gospel that you had to do so much. You had to live up to a certain standard. You had to obey certain rules before you could be accepted by God. But that's not the case. That's what Paul emphasizes time and again. And so there were those who infiltrated into the church in Galatia, and they were seeking to undermine the true gospel. And we see that happening today, don't we? We see in our own society that the gospel, the true message, is being ridiculed by so many. It's been diluted, it's been undermined by some churches, so that an alternative gospel is being preached. Many preach it's all about love. It doesn't matter how you live, as long as you have love. But that's not what the Bible says. Yes, we have to love one another, but the Bible also says that there will be a time of judgment. And we need to make sure that when we preach the gospel message, we tell people of the love of Christ, but we also warn them of the dangers of not following him. And this, in this passage that we have in Galatians that we're looking at this morning, I think it's just so marvellous. Because from verses 25 to 28, there are a number of promises. The first one is, that is in verse 25, it says, now that faith has come, we're no longer under the law. So because of faith, you're freed. You're free to live a life, not to do what you want, but to live a life worthy of Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord. Live a life that's no longer constrained by the Old Testament law. And I was really struck by what Dave Bishop shared with us last week. You know, we need to make sure the life that we're living is there anything that we're doing or anywhere that we're going that we would not want Jesus to be part of? And if that was the case, then we need to cut it off. So the first promise was that it was through faith. The second promise we find in verse 26, all sons of and daughters of God through faith in Christ. So we, if we believe in Jesus, we're sons and daughters of God. And that's just such good news. As I said before, we don't need to reach a certain standard. God accepts us as his children because we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. But, as I said, we need, as Christians, to live a life worthy of that name. It said, and it goes on to say, all are baptized into Christ. And as Baptists, we believe that when you come to know Christ as your Savior and Lord, you should be baptized. And that's why the pool is there under some of those seats on this side of the sanctuary. My own situation was that I was brought up, as you can probably realise from my accent, in the Church of Scotland. And I went through the church there and became an officer in the Boys Brigade. And that's how I served the Lord there. And then we moved, Christine and I moved south, and we were both working at Frimley Park Hospital. And we started attending Camberley Baptist Church. And it was there, whilst there, that I believe God spoke to me and said, you need to be baptised. So on the 15th of February, 1976, that was just a few days ago, I was baptised by the Reverend Christopher Russell. And that was a great night. And so the second promise is that we're all sons and daughters through faith. And as Tim alluded to in his all-age slot, we are clothed with Christ. We put Christ on. It's thought that Paul was referring here to a situation in Rome where a Roman father would give his son a new toga, indicating that he had passed from boyhood to manhood. So the old toga was taken off and replaced by a new adult toga. And in some ways, that's what happens for us. We take off our old self and put on Christ. We are clothed with Christ. As it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we no longer do so. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So we are clothed with Christ because our old self, our old human nature, has been clothed and overcome by the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he is the one that clothes us and anoints us. And the wonderful thing is, as it says here, we're all one in Christ. Paul lists three different standings, if you like. Position in society, slave or free, nationality, Jew or Gentile, gender, male or female. Notice, there's only two. There's no more than two genders. And that is still the case today, I believe. And so, if we look around this congregation this morning, we're from different parts of the world, we're from different countries, we're from different backgrounds, with different standings in perhaps in society. You know, some are still working, some of us are retired. But that does not matter. Look around the congregation this morning and realize that the people gathered in this building, if they know and love Jesus as their Savior and Lord, they are your brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we should give thanks to God for each one of them. And the last promise in this section is that we are heirs according to the promise. And again, Paul, as he has done through this letter, is taking it back to the promises that God gave Abraham 2,000 years before Paul wrote this letter. 2,000 years since Paul has written this letter that we are able to read it today. And the truths of that letter are still for us today. Because we are heirs according to the promise. That promise that God gave to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations and that those he blessed he would bless. We are blessed because we are part of that line. But the important part of that line came when Jesus came to the earth. Jesus is the seed. When we read the Old Testament and the promises that God gave to Abraham, he talks about his seed. He doesn't say seeds, where it's referring to, if you like, the human line of descendants. He's talking about the seed. And then quite often in Scripture, it's got a capital S. And that refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus was the one and is the one and ever will be the one who fulfills that promise and makes us heirs and co-heirs with Christ. Just to emphasize this, Paul writes this much the same in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 14, I'll start at verse 13. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you will put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God and daughters. For you did not receive a spirit that made you a slave again to fear. But you receive the spirit of sonship, and by him we are able to cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we share in his glory. Isn't that just marvelous that we are heirs with Christ and that's how God sees us? So in these few little verses that Paul wrote to this church, there are so many promises. And read it, when you read it through, we see it's all about Jesus. It's all about him. You are sons of faith through Christ. You're baptized into Christ. You're clothed with Christ. You're all one in Christ. If you belong to Christ, you're an heir to the promise. And that's just wonderful. We should take that on board and let that sink into our beings and carry it with us this week, reminding us ourselves who we are in Christ, that we are heirs of the promise. And Paul expands on this in the first few verses of chapter 4. He tries to explain, again going back to the Old Testament, about the difference between the Old Testament law and how the heir became the heir only when he reached a certain age of maturity. But of course, you see, we don't need to reach a certain age of maturity. Our maturity is judged by when we come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. That's what makes us God's child. That's what makes us his son or his daughter and his heir. We don't need to reach a certain age. You can be 10, you could be 20, you could be 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, and still not know Jesus as your Savior and Lord. But today, that day, could be the opportunity for you to acknowledge Jesus as Savior and Lord for the first time. And Paul's saying, you know, in their old self, you lived according to the old ways. You lived according to the principles of the world. But now, chapter 4, verse 4. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that they might receive the full rights of sons, because you are sons of God, sent by the Spirit of God into our hearts. When the time had fully come, God's timing is always perfect. God's timing, there was that gap of 400 years from the end of the Old Testament with the prophecy of Malachi into the New Testament when Jesus was born. There was a gap of 400 years when it appeared that God was doing nothing. But that was not the case. He was preparing the way. He was preparing the way. And that started with the birth of John the Baptist and the message that John the Baptist brought, followed by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So again, Paul emphasizes that God's right time. And God's right time might be for you this morning to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. We need to realize that we are walking, that we are the ones who are, if you know and love Jesus, we are the ones who are carrying the baton that has been handed down through generations and generations of God's people. And we have a responsibility to share and to show the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to the world outside. So we have this wonderful, wonderful promise that we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And we, because of that, are able to call God our Father. We're able to cry Abba. And that's like the Hebrew word for us to say, because it's a close relationship that we can have with God. And so we are sons and daughters of God, not just for today, but for all eternity when we know and love Jesus as our Savior and Lord. And we have now the empowering, the enriching, the enabling of the Holy Spirit in our lives to enable us to walk close to Jesus. There's so much more in this chapter 4 of Paul's letter of Galatians that we don't really have time to look into it closely. But just to summarize, if you get time to read it later on, in verses 8 to 20, we see Paul is perplexed about what is happening in those churches. And we see that quite clearly, because in verse 11 he says, I fear for you that somehow I have wasted my efforts on you. And then in verse 20, how I wish I could be with you now and change my tone because I am perplexed about you. So Paul is expressing his deep, deep concern for these brothers and sisters in Christ. And in some ways, it could be seen there's a sense of frustration in what he is writing in those verses. But he shouldn't have been, because Isaiah 55, verse 9 and following says this, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve their purpose for which I sent it. So every time, Every time you read the Bible, every time you hear the word of God preached, God is moving. God is touching someone's heart somewhere. You know, we look around in the UK in these days and we see and we despair at the state of our society and how much it has neglected God and turned their back on God. And yet we know that the Church of Jesus Christ is growing. There are millions of people coming to know Christ each year. And it's happening. It's happening in surprising places. It's happening in the Middle East, where the Muslim faith seems to dominate, but there are more and more Christians coming to know Jesus. There are more and more people coming to know Jesus as their Savior. It's happening in China. It's happening in so many other countries that seek to undermine and persecute Christians, that the church is growing. And then in verses 21 to 27, again, Paul goes back to that relationship that Abram had with Hagar and his wife's servant and Sarah, his wife, and that Ishmael was the first to be born to him by Hagar. But he was the one born in a natural way. Whereas when Isaac was born, this was truly a miracle of God, because both Abraham and Sarah were well past the age of normally having a child. So that was a true miracle. And it was through Isaac that the line was established. And that line takes us all the way through to Jesus, as I said. Because Jesus is the fulfillment of that line. And through him, God's new covenant with his people has been established. And as it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, we are God's chosen people. Believe that today. If you know and love Jesus, you're part of his chosen people. You're a member of his royal priesthood. You're a member of his holy nation, and you belong to God. Isn't that just so wonderful? That we belong to God. And then the final verses that Tim read, again, Paul refers back to this situation and summarizes it again, differentiating between the life of Ishmael and the life of Isaac. And it says that we are the children of the free. We are the children of the free woman. We are the children of the promise. You brothers like Isaac are children of the promise. I started this morning by looking at some of the promises that we find in these verses that we've looked at. And we need to remember those and take them on board. Think back through the scriptures, because I'm sure we all have a Bible verse or one or two verses that we know that contains a promise that is special to us. Hold on to that this week. Hold on to what we have just read in Galatians, at the end of Galatians chapter 3, that we are sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ, that we were baptized into Christ, that we have clothed ourselves with Christ, that we are all one in Christ. And if you belong to God, you're an heir according to the promise. So God's promise rests on you today and always if you know and love him. And what a wonderful, wonderful thing that is, that we can rest on the promises of God as we go through difficult times, hard times, and even the good and joyful times. God is there in the midst because we know and love Jesus as our Savior and Lord. He makes us heirs and co-heirs with his Son. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you for the truths that it contains. We thank you that your word can feed us each and every day. It's like having to take physical nourishment so that our bodies can survive. We need the food of the Spirit, the food that we find from your word, to enable us to live a life that is worthy of you, to enable us to live a life that reflects the fact that we are sons and daughters of the living God through our faith in Jesus Christ. In his glorious name, amen.